I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hi, it's Malls. Reminder before the show to make sure that you are subscribed in Apple Podcasts. And if you're new, welcome to Please Advise Nation. Our show only works with your participation, so call 323-450-7408 with your dilemmas and life questions. Again, that's 323-450-7408 or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thank you and enjoy.
Hey guys, it's episode 176 of Please Advise. Edward Hansen is our guest today, my best friend of a very long time. So I got my two besties here today. I feel like real spoiled. I have a Christmas idea after this that I want to talk about. But I just want to say, I haven't even gotten to really check in with you yet because we like had to start recording as soon as you got here.
Yeah.
We have Allison Freer coming in next.
That's amazing.
But you got a hard out.
I got a hard out. I have to go.
Well,
to...
it seems soft. Medium.
No, it's a hard out for me because I have taken literally 25 bags of recyclables to the recycling facility this morning. I don't even want to explain why I have 25 bags full of plastic bottles, but you literally
it's
have to go.
It's family business.
It's a family business.
No, I just mean it's, family business. It's family. It's private.
No, yeah, it's private, but it's also like my dad is a little cray cray and has kept all these recyclables. My dad lives with me. He's kept them in this closet.
It's not in the closet.
They are literally filled to the ceiling and I'm moving. Oh. And it's crazy. So I'm like, I have a loaner car that's a sport utility. So I'm like, this has to happen this morning. The recycling facility closed at 3:30. I was competing against a lot of people with recyclables.
Oh.
We were all running in there trying to get our bottles done. And I'm literally covered in like weird warehouse stuff. But that's fine because I'm happy to be here. Too blessed to be here. But it was a little stressful.
So if our episode's a little bit short today, that's why. There's also a close off on Figueroa. So Ed's in a hurried thing. I just had 8 boxes of clothing show up yesterday for my new clothing store that I thought were not going to arrive in 2 weeks. I have my very first appointment today. My legs are sore. My body's exhausted. It's been a really good workout. Like, I'm going to say
that's good.
It's been a good workout. Like, I feel like when I eat, like, I earn my I am hungry. Like, that is my fuel.
In a way, we're both doing it for the environment, if you think about it, because like recycling clothes and I'm recycling bottles. And I feel like as much as pain and stress as we're going through, it's really for the greater good.
No, I'm outfitting the community
at
$5, $10, and $20 an item. I have some things in there that are 90% off.
That's it. Y'all better buy that now.
I have like $300 items I'm selling for $20.
Y'all
like,
hear that? 90%
like,
off?
I have a couple things. I have like two $600 dresses that I'm selling for $20.
I just want to say, I love that you and I are both in jackets and coats right now.
Ed's in a tank top. Well, welcome to Boston College. This is Ed. This is would be Ed in the winter. Like,
excuse you guys, I'm in athleisure wear.
Yeah,
okay?
I'm wearing my Fabletics that they sponsor Mother May I Sleep podcast.
Oh my god!
Thank you, Kate Hudson.
Thank you. I want to be the next Kate Hudson. I only want to wear athleisure wear now. That's my new thing. I just want to wear athleisure wear. But you guys, this is my moving bottles look. Excuse you guys.
I'm proud of you. Christina, you were going to say something, and then I so rudely started talking about my boxes. What were you about to say?
No, I don't remember.
Okay, so can I tell you my Christmas idea? And yes, I think please. All friends, and I actually think everyone in the world should do this. Oh, Ed, do you want a little bit of your Starbucks breakfast sandwich?
Yeah, I haven't eaten it yet. Okay, so it's... this is a chocolate brioche bun. It's only 310 calories. You guys, I'm on a lifestyle change right now. I think if I described it, it would sound like an eating disorder, but it's really not. It's just
intermittent. Can I have a bite?
Yeah, of course. It's just intermittent. It was warm like 2 hours ago. It's so good. It's literally so good, though.
It tastes a lot like the pastries I ate growing up. The chocolate croissants my mom would get at like the gourmet French restaurant. It's pretty good.
It's pretty fucking good.
The
chocolate is
the specific thing.
Starbucks, we would love you to sponsor. Please advise. We're huge fans of you.
Oh my god, I hoard my stars.
I have a Starbucks in my building. I literally am there all the time. I want to just say Starbucks, the turkey sandwich with the
you know what's lit?
Starbucks, if you're listening.
Starbucks is lit.
The grilled cheese is fucking bomb.
Yeah, the grilled cheese is the bomb. You know, I could basically feed myself off Starbucks day and night if I need to.
I just like to eat the crusty part around. And then I leave the cheesy middle.
I mean, the Havarti cheese turkey sandwich with the dill spread on the whole grain bread is a revelation.
You know what's Havarti?
I had a Starbucks. You did such a damn good job. I took my ass to Trader Joe's and had to recreate it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's eating healthy now.
Yeah.
You know? She's not eating three cheeseburgers in one sitting
anymore.
No,
you're not.
You know, now it's two.
Yeah. But that's also Ed's dieting. What was the diet you were on that included a ham and cheese sandwich with mayonnaise for lunch every day?
The flat belly diet. It's about MUFAs, monounsaturated fats. Okay, you guys, I've lost 20 pounds.
Okay.
I should probably finish chewing. Sorry,
I was just going to say, when you're chewing, let just keep the mic. Blah, 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 blah. So that Christina doesn't have to I let you get a couple sentences out before I was like, oh, the world's gonna hear this.
I think it has character.
When you're chewing, hold it.
I'm also shocked that
I don't chewing doesn't really bother. It's like when someone has their mouth closed and it's just like the two of us, it's like that that like tuna sandwich noise. It sounds like someone chewing a tuna sandwich with their mouth closed.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what bothers
me.
Yeah,
and you hate mayonnaise too.
When we're in a quiet room and two people are chewing and I can hear the spit.
I didn't used to be bothered by stuff like that, but
you didn't have the headphones because I was like, I heard everything that was going on.
Sorry. No, I hear him, but it's that does that's type
you guys,
of chewing doesn't bother me.
I have I have two meals a day and this is one of them. And so this is the only time I get to eat. Basically.
Yeah.
My diet
is. Let us have two bites.
Yeah.
What a generous queen.
Because, you know, think of it. Ask Miss Ellen. You know what I mean?
Wait,
like,
how
ask
many calories
Ellen.
Are you eating a day?
I don't know. I just have breakfast. I just have breakfast and lunch.
You should know that.
I don't know. I mean, the thing is.
You know what? I don't think calories are that important, actually. I really don't. Because I think that, calories are a lie.
I just cut out dinner. And so what I used to do is I would go literally. I just eat whatever I want during the day. I work out at night and I stopped eating dinner because I would eat dinner at 9:30 every night.
Calorie counting introduces a crazy concept where it's like people are like, well, I had my In-N-Out cheeseburger and that was 600 calories. But then I have I still have 900 calories left.
You guys, technically, this is the Dubrow diet.
That is not. That those two things they don't equate. Like that needs to be leafy greens and shit. That's like the reason why it's got to be green stuff. So
green
if it's
got to go in there.
You got to be shitting mad lots, basically.
You have to have. I've been incorporating psyllium husk in. No, you gotta get that fibrous poops. You know, it's got to be.
Bottom line, you know what?
You know, fibrous.
Never in my younger years, I would have never discussed that. I would have thought that was disgusting and weird. But let's be real, okay? When I was young, I was unconscious. I was clocked out. I didn't know.
Yeah, I'm all for the emancipation of poopy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm literally I want to talk about it now. It's now that I'm in
still
my 30s.
Still don't like that word, though.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know.
You can use it, but I don't like that, the P word. Not my favorite word.
Yeah, I don't like the other P word.
Pussy?
But yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't like that word.
But I don't
you
like do that say, word.
But you love when all the cereal mom quotes.
I do. Well, I just love anything Kathleen Turner
Pussy
says.
Willows, Dottie.
Pussy Willows, Dottie.
Okay, so my Christmas idea, that if it weren't for children in general, I think everyone in the world should do this. This year for Christmas, I am only giving and I only want to receive sheet masks because I feel like this is the kind of self, like, and like, I know that arguably, like, taking, like, doing face masks is not what's technically considered self-care. But I do think that anytime you take for yourself that's personal is nice and contributes positively to your mental health. Self-care is not in and of itself going and getting a pedicure, but there's elements to it that are good self-care. So that said, I only like, so if it's like a really good friend, I may go get you lots of really nice sheet masks, but I think, you know what? I have a sheet mask for like my clothes.
What's a sheet mask?
Honey, like those face masks that are just like, how have you gotten by?
I mean, cause my skin, I honestly don't need them, but like.
Everyone needs them for anti-aging and stuff like that.
I think I've done a pretty good job of my anti-aging, but I will try it. Well,
you do a good job, but I mean, we all could do better. Like no one, I mean, even Angelina Jolie's popping on a face mask. Everyone in the world, even the most beautiful, Gigi Hadid, she's doing a face mask.
And Bella?
Bella's doing a face mask. You don't.
You're like, don't tell me about the lesser Hadid.
I
will, as to quote New York, I stand corrected.
I will say, I do love the ego that's involved with, no. I wash my face well enough that I don't need to do a face
no,
mask.
No, it's not that. You know what? It's so funny. It's like, you know, when you're like, self-esteem is like literally rock bottom, but there's only two things working for you. And
yeah.
You're like, okay.
I have
zero self. I'm like obviously incredibly confident, zero self-esteem, but there's only two things that work for me that consistently get complimented on, so I'm gonna fucking ride that until the fucking wheels break
honey,
off.
I always get compliments on my skin too, but same. So because of that, yeah. I put extra love and tender care into my skin because it's one of the only things I got going for myself.
No, same. And most certainly I stand corrected. I'm down for the sheet mask. You know?
Gotta just keep it real.
I'm gonna keep it real. You know, anything I can do to keep this
Let
Latin
touch
skin
your
young
skin.
You know what I'm saying? Last
you know what, we could all you use know, a little could, you could use beautiful. A little softening. You just like a little softening.
So this Panamanian skin, you know what? I can't just rely
melanin.
On this melanin, you know, I mean, this melanin's only going to take me so far.
But, you know, we all could improve texture, you know, keep that skin. Touch my skin, okay?
Oh, that's nice.
That's fucking that's baby really soft, nice. Bitch. And that's what I live my life trying to achieve and maintain.
Yeah. I mean, I know.
So I want good things for my friends. I think my friends want good things for me. So I this year, I will accept anything, of course. I love a thoughtful gift. But I would prefer sheet masks. And I only am going to give sheet masks. I've collected them from all over the world. All over the country.
Particular that you like?
I like anything. I'll try YOLO. I'm a big YOLO person.
Not one sheet mask brand that you're married to.
Okay. No. I have ones from Japan I like. Ooh. I went to Target.
Shiseido.
So, oh my God. So when I went to Texas over Thanksgiving.
Yeah, accurate. Yeah.
My Aunt Sarah was like, we were doing like face masks the first night because I brought a bunch down from like Japan Aww. And stuff like that. And she's like, you know what? I never look old because number 7. And I was like, what's number 7?
I love your accent. This is so good.
I was like, what's number 7? She's like, number 7. Number 7. And like, she just wasn't. She was doing like what we all do in my family, which is like, we just make fun of each other and then it gets dropped. So the next day I was at Target with Fiona. And like, I had really wanted to go to Walmart because I've only been once in Texas.
I love Walmart.
We didn't have them growing up, like where I'm at. So
I mean, neither did
there's
I.
There's one in Burbank now too.
Yeah.
There is. Mm-hmm. I discovered it. My friend from Texas also. Yeah. He taught me to love Walmart too.
Yeah. Like I want to go to like a good Texas Walmart, but we end up going to Target. So anyway, I'm walking the aisles, and all of a sudden, I'm just like turn my head, and I see number 7.
Oh my God.
And it's a face line at Target. I don't know if I think they're sold other places, but I wound up getting like my aunt, because she put me up for the week and like, you know, cooked a beautiful Thanksgiving dinner. I wound up like picking out some number 7 for her.
Aww.
Like the items are like $30 a piece. Like they're kind nice of, gift. They're higher end for drugstore stuff, but it's really, really good product.
Anything that's $30 at a Target or a drugstore, you know, is good shit. I'm sorry. It's true. It's like, it's true. Anything that's like that much money at a drugstore.
If it's at Sephora, no, but if it's at Target, yes. Yeah. Because at Sephora, they'll that's where they just hide. They'll put a fucking price tag
take anything. For $30.
But now, at a drugstore, those are more regulated.
Right. And yeah. at like for example, at Kiehl's, for $30 at Kiehl's, you can get a tiny tube of ice something.
I mean more like people can lie at high-end beauty.
100%.
You know, 100%. Like, it's like they always say like La Mer is actually, the duplicate for it is Nivea.
Didn't know that. That's
yeah,
amazing.
Which is okay. 99 cents a tin. So like that, it been La Mer, of course, is like $300.
Right.
So that's when you think about that, drugstores, I think, are more, they have to be more honest because they want to get a good, they want to keep it cheap so they get a good, like,
and get those repeat consumers. Yeah, right. Yeah. That's great.
But bitch, I got a bunch of number sevens. I got face masks.
Really?
Yeah, oh I did. And they were like $5 a piece. They were like pricier because sheet masks can cost anywhere from like $1.99 to like up to like $20 or $30.
One for one?
Yeah.
Or just, oh shit, that's a
lot.
Because
if it's a really good treatment, like it's like equivalent to getting like a certain, like a facial treatment at a spa sometimes.
So what are the results like for, like, what would you say?
It's
for
basically
one sheet mask
the equivalent of taking like a very expensive serum or like just a high quality mixture of serums, placing it on your face underneath a piece of cloth and leaving it there for like 20 minutes.
Okay.
And that your skin soaks up all those nutrients and, you know,
that
you can target
lovely.
It. You can target it for redness. You can target it for texture. You can target it for moisture, aging,
for
blemishes.
For my birthday, you got me some nice like face oils that I really, really enjoyed.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that became like a nice little ritual I had in the morning. And
yeah,
evening.
That was like some nice ass shit. I treated myself to it. And I was, while I was there, I was like, you know what? I don't know if Christina has like nice face shit. And we're
and you have
older.
Nice skin,
we
Christina.
Old now. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you got to be... I want to give you that taste of, you know.
It was great. I actually should re-up those because I really enjoyed doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We are
the,
old
the,
now.
The scents were like, it was nice, like aromatherapy.
And that lasted you a long time, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a cooling mist.
Like,
that
I just ran out
you.
Of them, yeah.
So did I give you a serum and a mist?
No.
What did I give you?
I had like, I can't remember. It was like an orangey scent.
And oh, like, that's the...
There
you
was
know
lavender
I got
one?
You the same stuff as me, except I got you more dry skin stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a problem for me.
Or oily skin stuff.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I have mixed complexion. I have, like, my T-zones get real oily, but everything else is, like, dry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to be better about moisturizing.
Your skin looks great.
Thank you.
Yeah, your skin looks really nice.
Thank you.
You guys
last
treat
week, not
yourself.
So nice because I was having hormonal issues. I was a little PMSing, but like...
Oh, God. Yeah. You know, that starts to happen in your 30s, too, is that you get those hormonal zits around your neck when you get your period.
I've had that
gross.
My whole life. Like, and not just like...
Oh, really?
Not just like around the jawline. It was like, sometimes I'd get them like right on the tip of my nose.
Yeah.
My
yeah,
sister
the face
got
ones,
them a lot.
But the neck is like...
She would
they
get them
hurt
like
too.
Like, they'd
yeah.
be like cis
yeah.
size.
Because if
like
you
crazy.
Get one... Yeah, they're big on your neck. They're big on your neck because it's
on
like...
chin. She get them on her chin a lot.
Ooh, I hate... I don't want that in my life. Like, because if it... Sometimes it happens on like where you bend your skin. And so it's just like that painful pimple kind of like... Anyway,
sorry.
Do you guys? I know. I'm like at home. I'm like, just everyone's pulling over their car. Like,
this is a pimple popper podcast. Though.
I know. Which, by the way, I don't know. Do you guys watch Dr. Pimple Popper?
I do actually.
I
used to watch the videos all the time. Yeah.
The show is.
Oh, I don't watch. I haven't watched the show yet.
Okay.
So like? Do you just watch? Because can they show
no,
graphic?
No, they build like a whole narrative arc to like the patient's visit.
Right, of
yeah.
course.
Genius. Yeah, and it's
well,
like very
a lot
emotional.
Of time, yeah.
Like it's like, it's actually like, I'm like, she is doing God's, if there is
she
God,
really
she is doing God's
well,
work.
Well, because
she
before
is.
Dr. Pimple, well, no, she, of course. And like she, before her, I had been watching YouTube home videos of people like draining cysts. And
yeah.
like, it was like a family tradition. Like it was like once every 15 years, they would drain dad's cyst. Cyst. And like, I remember... The smell hit in the yard and someone was like, oh my God, like I wish Shannon was here. Like, because like, I think that the sisters had been laughing about it like for the last 20 years or something. And so you know that these are emotional stories because someone, and also like anyone's ever popped like a really bad pimple knows that pressure release is huge. So like when you think about someone popping a fucking goit, like some fucking just bullshit lump on their body that's full of pus. The shame of carrying that around, but also the pressure. Well, you just get used to it.
There are people who are like, I can't get work because I have this fucking like bump on my head that I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And like, I can't afford to go to the doctor to get it taken care of.
You can't put a hat
and
on
it's
that.
Like, no. You can't.
You can't put foundation on that. You know.
We should ask Allison Freer if there's hats soft enough to put over a golf ball size pimple on your body.
But I don't know if you're supposed to cover stuff like that.
No, I mean, I'm sure you need to let it breathe at home. That's like why you don't wear underwear at night.
But anyway, yes, they do show like the actual pimple popping and all the like the graphic nature. So like, because that's what people are there for.
Ed, men don't air it out?
I mean, I sleep naked, but also I don't know.
You sleep naked?
Mostly.
Do you?
No.
It's too vulnerable for me. I have nightmares.
I get too cold.
You get nightmares from chocolate and sleeping naked gives you nightmares?
Chocolate gives me nightmares. Sleeping naked gives me nightmares.
Why?
Because I think I feel like I'm subconsciously just aware of my vulnerabilities. So like my nightmares are like being attacked and like stuff like that, because I can't like my big fear is like getting attacked naked, or if someone were to ever find my body naked.
Got it. Okay. That's actually very legitimate. Mine are more just like tactile. Like I just really like the feeling.
Sheets on your nuts.
Yeah. It just feels really nice.
Do your balls touch the bed?
Yes, depending on how you're laying, yeah.
Okay.
You know, they can. Yeah. I'm a tosser turner.
Tell me more.
I'll sleep. I'm not like one side of the bed sleeper. Like I can sleep in every side of the bed, and I also will wake up in a completely different.
Well, that's because you don't sleep with wags. I have to, my fucking bed has a dent in it because I'm not allowed to move. He bites me when I move. And I have to sleep on a side because I like to keep like a water and shit on the side of my bed. Like I like my bedside table, so I can't sleep in the dead ass middle of a big king bed. I just feel really oppressed, and I would like to have my mattress flipped.
The worst is like when I've slept with him, he'll like, because he wants to go for warmth, he'll burrow into like somewhere in between your body, and then you cannot move your body.
Yeah. He's taken to like I'm putting his head under the cover and sleeping on my arm like he's my boyfriend.
And like, I don't want to bother him.
And I'll just stay in bed for an extra hour and a half. And like, because I've been waking up at 4 a.m. these days. I don't know what's going on, but should we take our fucking calls?
Yeah.
Okay, Hunty, let's do it.
Hey, Malls, Christina, Wags, and guest. I'm calling you on Friday, November 30th, 4:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Thank You Next music video has been out for approximately 1 hour and 20 minutes, and I'm dying to know what you think. I'm also a recent Ariana stan. I guess we're called Arianators now. Who even knows? But I loved it and just want to hear you guys talk about it. Love you guys. Bye.
Hey, Malls, Christina, Wags, and guests. So I called earlier asking for your thoughts on Thank You Next. And I realize I have another follow-up question that might make the discussion more lively. If you were making your own Thank You Next music video, what would be your four favorite rom-coms that you would want to be in the video? Okay, thanks. Love the pod. Bye.
Okay, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for calling this podcast with this, because this is the type of thing that people tweet at me and I'm like, oh, I wish someone would just call the fucking podcast and ask this so that we have fodder. So thank you for calling and asking this, because
you guys can leave messages like this.
I prefer, because sometimes people want, I'm like, I can't answer back to each one of you, but I'm also not going to do an obnoxious quote tweet like everyone needs my opinion on the timeline. So thank you for doing this. You guys, I want to let you go first. And I also want to say to your second question, I already answered this on Twitter, but I think instead of just rom-coms, we should make it what four movies, period. Because rom-coms,
I prepared a rom-com answer, but that's cool.
Well, you know, you love a rom-com anyway.
I do. I love a rom-com.
Chrissy loves a rom-com.
I do. I'm a romantic at heart, even though I'm a skeptic.
Okay, Thank You Next, thoughts, take off, whoever. You had controversial thoughts.
I don't
think
it was controversial per se. I wasn't 100% in love with it. But I appreciate it a lot.
Why?
Of what I felt like the transitions were a little clunky. I felt like the 13 on 30 going sequence didn't need to be there.
I think that they cut, because she said that a lot of it didn't make it. They had like 15 minutes that didn't even make it in the video.
Yeah.
And of setups.
Yeah.
And so I think that 13 going on 30 got cut down to just that one scene.
Yeah.
Because they didn't.
I wish they had cut that toothbrush scene from Bring It On and put in something more from 13.
Oh, I think it's so iconic.
Because I didn't
though,
really, because I didn't even scene. Know it was from Bring It On until some, like, someone had to explain that to me. I didn't realize that was from. Like,
yeah, that's like a really flirty, like it's kind of a hot tooth. Like Bring It On. Remember?
I
that?
Thought it was and disgusting because I was like,
you
I don't
love Bring It On.
Brush.
Bring It On. Wait a minute.
The
why
toothbrushing
am I, I've seen
scene.
475 when, times. When,
thank you.
When Torrance and the guy are brushing their teeth together, and it's like yes. that, like
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of
yeah,
like
yeah,
suspenseful
yeah, yeah, yeah,
moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's such a flirty little like
okay,
thing.
Maybe it was impactful for me.
Okay.
It's
know.
Intimate.
Yeah.
So here's okay. First of all, I love Ariana Grande. Like my heart is so full for her.
Yeah.
In a very weird way because I have like obviously have
same and like I just, think she's an enormous talent.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Like other things about the video were amazing. I thought it was like
this is what I hate about stan culture because it's like you can't give a note on anyone without prefacing it with like I'm a huge fan of the body
yeah,
of
yeah,
work.
Yeah,
I,
yeah,
well,
yeah,
actually,
yeah.
I wasn't like going to say that, but
no, but I just
that's
like
what
the
I was
yeah, no, I know.
Everyone
I actually
does that.
What I was going to say was I haven't seen the video yet. I've Ooh. Only seen screenshots of it.
Okay,
so I know that there's like a Mean Girls moment. I know that Kris Jenner's in it.
Yeah.
Now I know. I didn't know anything about this.
You
so
gotta
I
just watch
to hear.
It.
I just need to watch it and absorb it. I've just seen Ariana's photos.
I almost wish that like you hadn't seen any of that because I intended to watch it when it premiered, but all my clothing stuff showed up. And so I was like finishing an episode of SVU. I wound up watching it like 45 minutes after it went up. So I didn't see any of the memes. Sorry. So I didn't see any of the memes. In fact, I only had, I saw one girl slide into my Instagram DMs and I just saw thank you next video. Like as the, and I was like, no, I have to watch right now or someone's going to spoil it for me. The way it lays out is really, really good. I think that they spent, you know,
yeah.
I saw someone make the comment online a while ago, like on in a YouTube review video of No Tears Left to Cry, actually. They were reviewing the video. And the guy was like, wow, her record label loves her. And it's true. Like you can they throw money into her music videos in a way that people don't. They that was like a standard Britney Spears video
wow.
back in the day. It was like everyone would just make videos. Sorry.
Like they went out of their way to get the accuracy of like little like what do you call those like props and stuff?
Yeah,
like
the props were really and they she did like some cute things like. I don't know if you saw this, but like her legal books in the Legally Blonde scene were yeah. like about stop and frisk procedure and like immigration laws. And like, I like her. I think she's really thoughtful.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I mean, I think it's great. Like
I was, but that said, you know, like I was excited for it to come out. Like I can't remember the last time I was excited about a video dropping.
That's
I just,
the other thing too.
To, like,
they earned
time.
Every penny.
Yeah.
It has 43 million views. It's been 24 yeah. hours since it came. It's been exactly 24 hours and 44 minutes since the video came out yesterday. And it has over 43 million views.
Did
already.
That set a record or no?
She like tore up and Thank You Next set a record. And by the way, I don't know if you guys know this, by the way, I'm like, I have nothing to say about this. I have everything.
Yeah,
to say
I know.
About this. But I do. I will like cut it off after this. I had no idea that this was her first number one single.
Yeah. I didn't know that either, really.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't that, like, because you would assume at
yeah,
this point
like,
she's five
been,
albums
yeah.
in.
So it's been really, in the lately in the music industry, it's been really hard for women singers to, like break into the charts like that. So, like, Cardi B has kind of been this amazing
yeah.
exception. But there's a reason
that.
Why,
yeah.
like, last year or the last couple of years, so many of the Grammy Award nominees have been heavily male. And it's, it's something weird going on in the culture or something. I think because what's popular right now is, like, rap. Rap is huge right now, and that's like the yeah. dominant culture. Like pop is not really having
I
a moment.
I prefer female vocalists, to be honest.
Of course,
like, I just there's not like that many male vocalists who I'm like super super into. If I'm
I
being
think
real
it's a lot of
it.
Like EDM and a lot of like beat based stuff,
yeah.
and like you know like
that's what's selling right now.
It's like Justin Bieber, like Where Are You Now, like or you know like shit like that. Like it's like that is what
trap
stays.
Music.
Yeah, that's what stays at the top for a long time, or like big rap songs. But I mean, I just can't believe like the way, like she had big songs.
The way, like I love the
was
way.
Was like that. I'm shocked that her first single wasn't a number one.
Me too. I didn't know that.
You know, I have noticed though. It is about always about how the record label chooses to lay out a promotion. Market, and one thing I've noticed in all of this is that Nicki Minaj's record label has fucked her at every turn because she had the same release, same time as Travis, but then also like she. She and Ari are really good friends, and her video was released, I think, a day or two.
She could have put Zayn on, instead she put her name on it.
Right,
you know?
Like, exactly. And so I just, like, I think that's really, like...
Well, I read a really interesting article about this the other day, and it was from, like, a kind of... I think it was, like, via... Do you know, guys know Cupcake, that female rapper from Chicago? So Cupcake was saying that, like, it's really hard for, like, female MCs to, like, really come up because record companies typically... And this is so erroneous, but, like... Or I don't know how they even like came to this conclusion, but record companies typically view females as hyper expensive because of quote unquote hair, makeup, wardrobe and everything.
And especially in rap, like in there rap, is always a big presentation.
Presentation. But they were saying that actually a lot of the male rappers, when it comes to wardrobe, end up spending a lot of money.
Yeah,
because of, like,
it's all that Gucci shit.
Gucci, you know, like Fend, all that stuff.
So Migos looks expensive.
They're very expensive. Yeah. So she was just, I think the article was just basically saying that, you know, it really is like a misrepresentation and a misperception that it shouldn't be more expensive to market a female rapper and or a female MC or whatever artist because males are equally expensive. So it really just, the industry has to change its perception. This is just what I read.
Speaking of female rappers, do you want Azealia Banks' Bussy Boy soap?
I have not heard it.
No, it's a soap. It's, she makes soaps in her apartment. She has one called Bussy Boy that's a lightening and softening cream for your butthole.
Yes. I would love that.
Did
I'm
you not
guessing,
know what a bussy is?
No, I do know what a bussy is.
I was like, honey, I was like, I had to say butthole before you
but
reacted.
But you know why? Because it's related to the other word I dislike.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, she also has another one that's supposed to be for vaginas, but you can still, but it's just a different color.
But they need them lightened. Is that what we're going with?
It's light and soft and maintained, you know, so that if in case you're, you know, your b-hole's getting teared up, you got to keep that thing looking nice.
Maintained, right. I mean, thankfully the walls here are still intact.
Yeah.
So these walls,
well, no, I mean, it's not about, it's not going robust. To stitch your asshole together, but it's like, you know, it's going to.
I mean, some of these girls out here, you know, I can't speak for their walls. But as for these
it doesn't,
walls,
yeah, it doesn't do that. It
these
doesn't
walls
do
could
that.
Talk, they would say, I'm
Ew,
fabulous.
Ed,
I'm intact.
I'm done. It's not about being intact.
You're bringing up Bussy.
It's not about being intact. It's a soap. It's a soap for your body.
Okay,
it's
well,
not about.
I'm here for that. You know,
it's like literally.
I love the marketing of that.
Is there a
you know
soap
what?
That can stitch up anything? I don't know. Is
yeah,
there?
It's a miracle soap. It just like.
No, there's just soap doesn't do that no matter what.
Yes, it
so
does.
Asshole loose or tight,
yeah, I
don't.
It does. I think you just put it in there. And
loose
gets
or
better.
Tight, there's
you
know, no soap that will cure.
Tighten that bussy up. I mean, what a word. You know what I'm
do
saying?
Do you want to take
what
another
word.
Call?
Yes,
wait,
please.
What movie? Wait, what movies would be your thank you next?
Ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. Practical Magic, number one.
Okay.
I would also
Wait, who would you be in that? Like, who didn't?
Obviously, Sandra Bullock. Okay. I mean, I love Sandra Bullock, and Molly would be Nicole Kidman.
Thank you.
We put Molly in a red ass wig, and we'd like do the thing where Molly's like possessed by
I'm
her
pale.
Dead ex, you know, and I'd be like, we'd like cut our hands and put them together and then the magic would happen. Practical
love.
Magic is just so
dead
jamais.
For us.
Who's your love interest in that?
Well,
in
I
that sequence?
Always have an Aiden Quinn thing, but I do love her husband who died from the curse. I don't know what his name is. He's a really cute Jewish actor. I cannot think of his name. And Legally Blonde, Avi, because I'm obviously Elwood.
You're gonna copy Ariana.
Yeah, I would have to copy Ariana that one. Like Ari and I speak a similar love language. I think like I really do. We really speak a very similar love language. I think we're very, I feel we're living parallel.
Okay, what's the next
Molly,
movie?
She's a Cancer.
I know. What's the next movie?
What would my next one be that I always watch and love?
I love that you think you can tell me facts about Ariana Grande. I don't know.
Oh, I'm not.
No, I was talking about Christina while you were thinking.
I'm trying to think what my next one would be.
Okay, I'll tell mine while
yeah,
we wait.
Yeah, tell yours.
Okay, Wayne's World.
Okay. One or two?
One.
Okay. I don't know. Some people have affection for two.
No. But it's still Wayne and Garth.
Yeah.
But, okay. And then Seven.
Okay.
The Family Stone.
Oh.
And then Romy and Michelle.
That's on my list too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like iconic costumes.
Yeah.
But I think the Family Stone is funny because no one would expect it. I'd that's be amazing. Owen Wilson in that. And in Seven, I'd be Brad Pitt. And then in Wayne's World, I'd be Garth.
I would definitely do Game of Thrones.
I'd be Khaleesi. Oh, and I'd be Romy. Well, no, I'd be Michelle. I can't decide. I'd be Janine Garofalo. I wouldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
In mine, you are the Janine Garofalo because I need that like shot of you doing the beer.
Oh, that's my favorite GIF. I love that GIF. I use that GIF so often because that is
I'm
so...
your only person like in your life that can do that.
I feel like you could do it so well.
Thank you.
That's the best.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Okay, what are your other ones?
Well, Game of Thrones, Khaleesi.
Game of Thrones is a TV show.
Let him have it.
Okay, all right.
We'll give it to you.
Okay. I was also gonna say
I'm shocked you haven't said Drop Dead Gorgeous. Like, you a big movie lover. I'm shocked you haven't said,
well, because Drop Dead Gorgeous isn't really
Death
a rom-com.
Becomes Her.
Well,
it doesn't have to be,
it doesn't have to be rom-com. It can be anything we love.
Yeah. You think Game of Thrones is a rom-com?
Well, there's lots of sex in it, and right. There's some romance, so I'm gonna take it and get to deal with dragons.
Ed, that says honey. That says a lot. I hope that that's getting brought up in therapy.
And lastly, I think I would have to go with Big Business because I love Big Business
that's
so
good.
Much. It's like so important to me.
Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin, for those who don't know. So that was that. Can you recap that for the audience?
So I think it's Big Business, Game of Thrones, Legally Blonde, and Practical Magic.
Yes. Okay. Awesome.
I didn't know it was strictly related to... I didn't know. Though.
Here are
Game
my picks.
Game of Thrones.
You guys, I'm a loser. I don't
know.
I love
that you picked a TV show. And you were like, I can only do rom-coms.
I don't know.
And you had already picked a TV show that was Game of Thrones.
I don't get the game or whatever.
No, you're my... this is why you're my boo. You're just silly.
I just didn't get it.
You could be silly.
Here are mine.
Okay, please.
Romy and Michelle, obviously.
Perfection.
I want to be Romy.
Gorgeous.
Two can play at that game.
Play that game.
Christina,
that's my favorite.
That's such a good one. That's so good.
When Harry Met Sally, I would redo the scene just because, like, Meg Ryan and I are both curly haired queens.
Yeah.
And then the last one is going to be Princess Diaries.
I like
a good makeover.
Princess Diaries, I was thinking yesterday, would be a really good one for this.
Yeah.
Because that makeover scenes, like, there's like several iconic scenes in Princess Diaries.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's so true.
That was like a great first big movie
also,
for Anne Hathaway.
Princess Diaries really? 2, underrated movie. It's a really
that's
great movie.
That's a good one.
With a feminist perspective. Shonda
Wayne's
Rhimes wrote
World
it.
2 isn't bad.
She did?
Yeah.
Wait, who?
Shonda Rhimes wrote Princess. What?
Oh,
yeah. Shonda Rhimes wrote Princess Diaries 2.
You know she wrote Crossroads, right?
No.
The Britney Spears. That was her first movie.
Yeah.
What are you doing to me right now? I didn't know.
You're sleeping on Shonda.
I'm going to fuck you up with knowledge, bitch.
I didn't know that.
I'm fucking you up with knowledge, bitch.
You certainly, most definitely are.
Oh, my God. All right. Do you want to take the next call?
Yes.
Thanks for calling in with that again. That was a fun little Saturday treat for us.
Thank you. Next call.
Next. Oh, Christina, look at that.
Hi, Moz, Christina, Wags, and guests. My name's Haley. I'm 24, and I live in New York City. I was just calling because right now I work as a post-production assistant, and I went to school for film and English. I always thought I wanted to be a writer, but my uncle works in film, and it just kind of worked out that I ended up in the film industry, and I actually really like it. But I've been a post-production assistant at the same place for a year, and I was an intern before that. And you guys know, I think you guys said you were loggers before. It just gets kind of stagnant. And I'm just kind of nervous about taking it to the next step and going to the post director and kind of talking to him. So I just wanted to see if you guys had any advice on kind of how to bring this up to the post director and kind of see what opportunities would come next. I'm kind of open to keeping working in post or, I don't know, to expand somewhere, maybe out in the field. Just for reference, I work in documentary style reality TV. I don't know. I just I just want to be a little bit more creative and get to be more a part of the process. So let me know what you guys think. Thanks. Bye.
I do want to point out off the top, because I know that there's going to be people thinking it. This is a good call, but let's just, I mean, this isn't a business that's easy to fall into. And so this is a very, like, you are, just so you know, and I hope you do know, very, very lucky to have the industry connections that you do, because this can become a very, very, very well-paying job. It's a very elite industry that people move out here to try and be in, and they've wanted to be in it their whole lives. So I think it's very cool that you, like, kind of happened into one of the most difficult fields to break into through the business, family business. But I do appreciate you acknowledging that that's how you kind of got your way in. You know,
yeah,
just saying that. There's nothing wrong with using connections. We all should. It just happens to be this is like, this is one of those things. It's like music, I feel, is like that. Like any, the art world is like that. Like anything where you really, people, they make a reality show about you hustling to do it.
Yeah.
That's a hard business.
Yeah. I mean, Haley sounds as broken as I feel, number one, but number two.
I thought her name was Kelly.
Oh, was it?
It was Haley.
It's Haley. That's how much I listen.
No, I like this call. I think Haley, it sounds like you're in a good spot. It sounds like you're totally ready to move up. It sounds like, you know what? Silent mouths don't get heard. Yeah. Hungry mouth, you know, you have to.
Closed mouths don't get fed.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah. I was looking for that. English is my second language. Closed mouths don't get fed. And basically, I really think that, you know, you need to pick three things about yourself and your performance that you can highlight. And then you need to go to your boss. You need to say, here are X, Y, and Z reasons why I deserve this promotion. I've done this. I'm really great at doing this. I can do this. And I want to grow with the company. And I want to help you guys get to this level by being, quote unquote, either it's either about efficiency, or it's about you can do this better than anyone else, or it's about, you know, you really, you know, envision yourself helping them in this way long term. So I think you got it in the bag. I'm really excited for you.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you're going to move up, and I'm really happy you found a niche. That's wonderful.
That's a great answer, Ed. I think definitely, you know, advocating for yourself is important. And like the thing that I would kind of use is just don't feel like you aren't entitled after work. Not entitled is the wrong word, but don't feel like you can't work for a promotion the same way that everyone else does. I don't know if that's part of your mentality at all, but I will say that when asking for a promotion or really anything you want in life, but do it like a straight white guy, like literally yeah, just, 100%. You know, like you, women, we hem and haw a lot and we really like question ourselves and wonder if it's okay to ask, wonder if we deserve stuff. And, you know, it's easier said than done. But that's kind of the attitude that you should be going for. And it's not, you know, a coincidence that a lot of times you see people getting ahead because, you know, even if they maybe aren't the most congenial person, which definitely is a way that a lot of people get ahead, if like they're lesser skilled, but they're better with people, even very like skilled guys, that they tend to get ahead faster because they talk about what they want and they're very clear and the boss knows that they want to move up in the company. And, it, you know, that is, I think, the number one thing to express is that you want
to
move up in the company.
You want to
grow.
Existence.
Yeah. And you have to tell your boss, like, you know, take them aside. I'll never forget. Like, this is a very early instance of me doing this in my life, and it's such a dumb example. But, like, I remember I wanted to get a varsity letter, and I knew that I wasn't going to place high. Everyone wanted to do the 50 free or the 100 free because they were, like, the fastest of – they were quick events. They were more speed-based, and, like, they were – it was freestyle, which is the easiest sort of stroke or whatever. And I remember thinking if I wanted to get a letter, I had to do something like exceptional. So I like went to my coach and I just said, I really like am taking this seriously. I want to swim the 500 free, which is like, I think a half mile. And I was the only person who volunteered to do distance. And like, I didn't even know I was going to get a letter. I just got one at the dinner. And like, my coach was like, you know, you stepped up when no one else did. And you did like the hard thing. And so that's like just a silly example. But sometimes, you know, that is the kind of thing you can do to stand out, is just like go the extra mile and make it clear, this is what I want to do this because I want to
I love be a good part sports of the team. Metaphor. I thought that's a great example. You know? Really think that's a very powerful metaphor, because it's very sports in a weird way, as much as like I roll sports, even though I played them for many, many years. It's a very it's very metaphorical to life. And yeah. What you did there was like, you set down a practice for yourself that you would pay for the rest of your life, which is you were advocating by showing that you could do this really difficult thing that not many people were willing to do. However, you were willing to go the distance. I mean, literally.
That's the thing, is it was willingness. And like, that's what she respected. And I think that, you know, you are in this operation. You see where the rusty kind of like pieces are, the things that people could use an extra hand. If you can go to your boss and say, hey, I noticed that on show night or whatever, like I noticed that the binders like are, it takes a while to put them together, right. Or I noticed that this isn't getting done, or that this could be better archived. I would like to take on that responsibility. Like,
I can cut down the ingestion time of these clips by 3 hours by doing it this way, then post organizing them once they're ingested. Like, you know, I can edit this. You know, maybe you have a great music sensibility. Maybe you have
taking
like,
on a project,
you know, learning from the best editors, watching them replicating that, you know, especially in reality, that's really important, you know? And so I think I'm really excited
because
for you.
Like the thing is that, and ultimately, unfortunately, most people in any industry are replaceable, even if they're very good. Mm-hmm. There's only a few ways to make yourself close to irreplaceable. And that is one of the ways, is to go the extra mile that no one else goes, or to notice the detail. Like that's I think the thing that you should be thinking about now is like, how can I come in and offer my boss something he didn't even know was possible? Or how can I like streamline something that is kind of holding everyone back? And don't do any, and there's two reasons why you have to tell your boss. One, so he knows you're doing it, but two, because you don't want to obstruct anything in the process of trying to be helpful or have like a secret that could all be seen as weird or a bad judgment.
Preconceiving someone's needs in the workplace is a really huge asset. And I think that that's exactly what, you know, like Molly's saying. So I just feel like that, do all this stuff and you're going to move ahead.
And Christina, you also have had like two promotions within the last couple of years. Like what was your, you've survived a huge round of layoffs. Like you have really impressed me in terms of like your staying power. And you did the same thing when you were at ABC, is that you outlasted basically the entire editorial team.
For the other site. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was your, so like, what are your like tips to this girl?
I think it's like, you know, there's the idea that you can make yourself invaluable, you know, in some way, in like getting some knowledge that other people within the department don't have. So you specialize in something. And I think you guys both hit at this. It's kind of what you were intimating with the like, you know, 100-yard freestyle or
500.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say good.
Five times more than that.
I mean, Jesus, sugar, anyone could do that.
Yeah, sorry. I have really poor Everyone judgment of distance. Like one time I got directions to go like two football fields down somewhere. And I was like, sir, what makes you think I know how long a football field is?
Like, no, ironically,
I remember that. Yeah. I remember that.
I had to run the 400 meter in track and I was very upset about it because no one wanted to run that race and I was forced to run it and I felt very discriminated against, just putting that in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, but like, you know, like, like it's also like impress other people by like getting a shine from like outside the organization somehow. Like do a big project that's impressive outside of your everyday work and they can see like, oh, you have this skill set that's actually really valuable. And it also like
it shows that you want to be there. It's always good to know, like, you know, the assistant that's also writing a script.
Yes.
You know that person. And I would say like in post-production even more. I'm sorry. I forgot what I was going to say. Ooh.
I have a funny quote. Well, a good quote from my old boss who was from Long Island.
Okay.
She'd always say, Edwin, the difference between a job and a career is, you know, that a job is 9 to 5, a career is always.
Yeah.
And she'd always say that to me. And it's true. It's true. And if you think that way, like you're saying, you know, what are you doing on the weekends? Maybe you
I've got a real ass career, bitch.
What are you doing on the weekends? Exactly.
It's also like, it's my career. It's also what I do during the day.
That's
like,
what I'm saying to Haley.
I live,
exactly.
Read, eat, sleep podcasts.
There you go.
I've launched like 5 podcasts. Like,
exactly.
It's everything. Yeah.
It's like, you got to get that into your head, Haley. It's like a career is always. A job is 9 to 5. A career is always. So it's like, what are you doing? What are you, so think, you know, get, what are you doing on Sunday morning, Haley? You know?
That's the truth, is that it's honestly the sweat equity that you have to do in this phase of your life.
It's and the like, thousand you know, hours.
I continue, or ten, yeah, it's 10,000 hours. And yeah. like, I, what's with you in numbers today and just like ripping me off on my fucking experience?
Sorry.
No, I unfortunately put my 10,000 hours into blogging. But I will say that, you know.
Or honing your voice, Molly. How about that?
Yeah, you're right. What was I going to say? What was I saying before you stole my stole 9,000 of my hours?
Sorry.
What was I saying?
I can try to listen.
Oh, back. Sweat equity. Yeah. You know, I mean, I still find myself as I like, you know, am always kind of trying new things and breaking into different areas. You know, I consider my clock to have sort of restarted almost 100% with podcasting. And so I continue to put sweat equity in anything I do. Anyone you see who's starting new projects is putting sweat equity in. And so, but in my 20s, it was like my lifestyle. Yeah. It was, I lived and breathed it. I was like, you know, if I wasn't, when I was working on a script and starting Hello Giggles, that wasn't probably even my peak of sweat equity, but that was a lot. And so I will just say you gotta, while you have that energy, because it does dwindle down, and I hate to say it because I was always like, oh, that's pathetic. Like when I was younger, I think like when people are like, when you're in your 30s, man, and then wait till your 40s. And it was just, I always thought that was like, okay, well, creaky bones, like, you know, that's not my,
yeah,
that's not my issue. But that energy leaves your body, honey. My store has, my muscles are aching, but you know what? You know what is? I think it's because of all that sweat equity. I love to work. I love it. I love it. Like
I do too.
All my hobbies are jobs. Like I think it's like is a lemonade stand mentality. That's what I call it. Like I grew up like always wanting to like play business and like start little businesses. And I was always making stuff and going around the neighborhood and selling it and like knocking on people's doors and be like, do you want to buy my clay beads? And that's why I love my store. That's why I, you know,
for me, it's like, you know,
side hustles.
It's more just like not having the free time. Cause it's like idle hands, you know, are the devil's playground. It's like, if I have that free time, it might go somewhere dark. So I need to keep busy to like, you know, just have my energy focused. And like, it also like, I like having that structure to my day.
Yeah.
It actually makes me more, it makes it less, it makes time less, it makes it more solid for me. Like,
otherwise, you can identify what you were doing.
Yeah. Or like what I need to do, or like how much, like, okay, I'm going to do this for things.
Structure.
And I need the structure. Cause like, then I'll just be like a total vegetable if I don't.
Yeah. I will say that like also structure is huge, and incorporating the store. And I know this sounds like a joke, but it's not. The reason why I really wanted to do this is because as someone who loves work, and this is interesting that you're doing the recycling thing too, because you work in an office job that's like a, you know, in a 9 to 7. It's like, you know, I've really missed that tactile sort of labor where your brain can kind of take you can kind of sit back in your brain a couple seats and just like, you know, focus on something and like maintaining the racks and putting stuff together and organizing with a podcast on is a really relaxing and satisfying part of my brain that now I've noticed. Like, I wrote like 2 pitches this week and sent them off to my agent, and like it was more like it was a sort of impulsive creativity that came up, I think, because I've been engaging this other half of my brain.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, it also helps with that. Like, I volunteer at a food bank, and a lot of it is just.
When did you start doing that?
Since last year, like every couple months.
You've never mentioned this.
Yeah. It's in downtown Los Angeles.
Can I come with you?
I always invite you.
What the fuck? You guys are going to a food bank every week?
Every time I've invited you, you can't come. Like,
when do you go? What day do you go now?
I go with BC. I go with our college.
What day do you go now?
They do it once every 2 months. For us, it's once every 2 months.
Oh,
I did it through work too. Yeah.
Oh,
that's what I was telling you about. So
no, that was years ago though. I haven't.
No, I went. I mean, well, I mean,
oh no, yeah. You haven't asked me in a couple years.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But wait,
yeah.
I think it's usually on Saturdays,
it's
right?
Usually Saturdays. It's, so
I was always Please Advising Day. Yeah.
And I also like my company gives me 8 hours of like time paid to do volunteer work.
What?
Yeah. That is so amazing.
That is great.
Yeah, my company's great, dude.
That's great. And remember matching gift?
Yeah.
Do you remember matching gift date?
But yeah, like if you want that kind of like work where it's like tactile, but like not mindless, but like, you know, if that was a great way to do like sorting out cans and like for a great cause. Like,
I actually had a panic. Yeah.
Just do that.
I would love to
do
that.
What day do you do it?
It's like once every couple of months. I've done it on Fridays before.
Yeah. Do they take clothing? I could bring them.
That one's just a food bank. Yeah. But like you could go to I know someone who works at this organization, My Friend's Place, the one that like Miley Cyrus brought someone from the MTV Movie Awards one year.
Oh, yeah.
But they take clothes.
Wait, what day is it, babe?
The one at the food bank, I've gone on Fridays before, but that was
I
want to
do that. I'm usually free on Fridays.
Yeah.
I'm
the next free. One on a Saturday, I'll let you know. You're usually done by 12.
Okay.
So you have to get there at like
7:30. I started later in the day. I've done like from 3:30 to 5 or something.
Oh, that's
like
cool.
That's my sweet spot. Yeah, that's spot when my brain is lit. My brain lights.
And they play some good jams.
They play good jams. You know, it's funny. I actually made a mistake because I fucked up at the food bank.
What did you do?
I didn't know. Okay,
and then we got to wrap this.
Fucked up at the food bank. That is
okay,
a great
so
sentence.
I don't have great hearing, and so you know, because I think we did a Jeep Wrangler growing up, so it ruined my hearing. Anyway, so although I love Jeep Wranglers, but so they were, you know how they announced, they're like, okay, if you have this, it's 16 months. If you have this, it's 10 months. So they said for chocolate, they must have said like 6 months, but I heard 16.
Oh.
So I packed all this Valentine's Day chocolate for some people. Oh. But at the same time, does chocolate really go bad?
Yes.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
Well,
not quickly though, right?
I mean if it's 16 fudge months squares, versus 6 months is a big difference.
I was probably at like 9 months at that point.
Wait, did you bring in your own chocolate?
No, so what you do is they like have all this food and you sort it
out. They have food that people donated.
People donate and you have to
sort corporations it. Donate.
Yeah, because I know I
them.
Give to food banks.
Yeah. So like they your job is just to sort it.
So why did they have old ass chocolates out? That might be their fault. Well, why is that your fault?
Because
people just donate it. You're just going through the raw donations.
Like I think I did it in like, let's say it was like, maybe it was like summer and this was Valentine's Day
and
chocolate.
Are you saying you put like little Valentine's Day chocolates that were very expired into people's lunches?
I don't know if they were very expired, but they were certainly past 6 months.
That's not that bad.
I was hoping
it's
not
did you
too
get
bad.
A slap on the wrist for
well,
it?
Well, I just was like, I was talking to Tara, you know, Tara, and I was like, Tara, and she was like, oh no, Ed, that's 6 months. I'm like, I heard 16 and I was like flipping out and they were like, it's fine, it's chocolate. But you have to go through every thing of food, right? Because they get
was
damaged.
It like what kind of chocolate was it? Like
just like little heart chocolate.
Was like Dove?
Yeah, like probably like Dove.
Oh, Dove is fine. They do that like medications where it's like they say like, oh, it's expired. It's and when they're really just trying to get you to get more.
Well,
chocolates.
No, they do have like
sometimes they get white and
so
chalky.
Like a lot of this stuff is like canned goods. They're like, oh yeah, if it has like within 5 years, it's fine. Like that's how you're sorting it out. So if it's older than 5 years, then
but if
like,
it's super damaged, like if you see anything has like a dent,
you're
like,
not looking for expiration dates. You're looking for like if like, this damage. Is older than like 5 years or something. Like
right.
That. Yeah.
So I'm saying, so like, who cares about the chocolate?
I know, right? It's just my guilty conscience.
So yeah, what does that have to do with anything? Okay, sorry. But here's the tea, right? Here's an existential question. Mm-hmm. It's not existential. It's like a what would you do? Let's say that you sort of like absentmindedly put one of those chocolates in your mouth and like a couple people saw. Would that make you a bad person because you're eating from the food bank?
I don't know. I mean, what if you're hungry and you're serving the community? Like you're not allowed to have a chocolate?
I don't know.
I personally have never done that, but I also wouldn't judge someone if they did.
Would you?
Would I eat it or would I judge
would
someone?
Would you judge someone?
I think I would.
Oh, you want, yeah.
I think I would, but I also could see how it would happen. And like, that's where I kind of want to get into my inner, you know, showing some grace part of me, because frankly, I've never been in a situation where I could pop a chocolate from the food bank into my mouth.
I think if I saw a person like opening a backpack and putting a bunch of food in a backpack for themselves.
Well, that's like crazy. Actually a literal crime.
Yeah.
It just one's in poor taste.
If I saw
arguably.
Someone who was like volunteering their free time and was feeling a little faint and needed a piece of chocolate to regain their blood sugar.
Or just thought possibly, it was yummy.
Or just had diabetes and needed to regain their blood sugar. Then no, I wouldn't.
Well,
them.
One of them's an ailment and one of them's like, you just thought it was yummy.
But we don't know people's backstories. Do you know what
I'm saying? No, but I'm saying, okay.
Oh, you're saying the hypothetical.
If it was yummy. Well, I'm asking you. Like, what if it wasn't diabetes? What if someone just thought it was yummy?
I might give them like an eye, like an upward eyebrow raise, and that's it.
Would you make a joke about it or would you ignore?
If it was a friend, I'd make a joke, and if it was a stranger, I'd ignore. What would you do?
I would, if it was a friend, I'd be like, dude, well, did you just steal from a food bank?
Yeah, did you eat that?
This is literally homeless.
One piece of
chocolate. This is food for the homeless. Yeah. All right, let's take our next call, bitch.
Hi, Malls. I'm a big fan of your podcasts. I listen to everything. I don't want to give my name, so I'll give a Heather's call back and say that this is Tweety. So I don't really know where to begin. So I'm a 41-year-old lesbian. I'm married. Everything is going great. I have a good marriage, a good career, good interests, good hobbies, money's fine, what have you. But I'm so depressed. I feel like I've lost a bit of myself since my marriage. And I don't think that that has anything to do with the marriage itself. To give a bit of backstory, I used to live in New York. When I lived in New York, I got a call from my dad that my mom had passed away. This was about 5 years ago, and up until that point, everything was going great for me. Really lucky, you know, just like everything was going my way. And then my mom died, and it kind of threw everything topsy-turvy. And from there, I moved to another place. I don't want to say where that was because I feel like that will immediately say who I am. But I moved from New York to another place, and it's all different. I don't really have any friends. I don't have the same, like, creative output. I don't really have any people here aside from my wife. And then after moving here to where I currently live, my dad also passed away, and then my grandma. So I think I'm a little bit depressed. And it's kind of hurting my marriage because I don't really want to do anything. My wife is really a people person. I'm not really a people person. She has all the friends. She brings them into the fold, and I'm just kind of like, whatever, I'll go to things because she wants to go to things. But really, more and more, I just want to stay at home. And I feel like that's making me a boring person. It's making me a person that no one really wants to be around, and I feel like I just don't know who I am anymore, even though I have a lot going for me. Like, really, there's nothing wrong. And I should say that recently I started taking Zoloft. I don't think it's helping. I feel like I'm drinking a lot, which also has a lot to do with where I'm currently living, because it's like a drinking place. So I'm drinking, I'm staying at home, I'm trying to, like, work on a book, but more and more I'm just wanting to be alone. I want to isolate myself and just be alone. Moral of the story is, please advise, what do you do when you are depressed and you really want to be alone, but you know that that's probably not the best thing for you? I don't want to hang out with people. I don't want to go anywhere. I really just want to stay home and read books and be by myself, but I'm married, so I know that that's not, like, the cool look. How do I pull myself out of this shit? Is that even a thing that a person needs to do? How do I just, like, stop being a pussy baby, I guess? Okay. Thanks for anything that you can give advice-wise. I appreciate it. Okay, bye.
Wow.
Yeah. I picked this call because I felt like it was something that all three of us could relate to, and I also think that a lot of other listeners could relate to, and I don't know, just if you want to be candid about your
experiences. I maybe missed some pieces of the very first parts of the call, because I didn't know how deep it was going to get, and so I just was a little bit, like, half tuned in. Did she say she moved to – no. Did she say she moved to New York, and then that's when she found out that her mom passed away?
Yeah,
her mom was ill.
Okay, so she was far away from home. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of – this is aside, but we were kind of – Wags, come here. Wags wanted to sit next to his auntie Christina.
he did.
So we were kind of talking before, and we wanted to know, like, why maybe that it was you were afraid to give yourself away, like where you could have possibly moved, why it would be a giveaway. And I don't know if you were trying to conceal yourself from me. That's what you thought at first, but right.
Oh, yeah, or if it was just someone.
She moved to somewhere so specific.
She just spoke in a way that like it seemed like you know her, or it seemed like we would have some direct association to her in a way that she's like, if I say this, it's going to give away.
Oh, interesting. Because, you know, like, what I'm saying? In my mind, it's like, oh, she knows people who listen to the show and she's worried that
I was like, maybe she lives in Antarctica. And it was like, oh, there's only one bitch that watches Heather's and moved from New York to Antarctica.
Yeah.
And her whole family passed away. And she, you know, and also she has a wife. Like, I didn't know which category
there's
it was.
There's only one lesbian in all of Antarctica.
There's only one lesbian. Being in all of Antarctica
that loves Heather's,
that's deeply depressed. So, you know, first of all, I hope you know I'm not making fun of you. We all deal with depression in different ways and in different types of ways. Like Christina, you know, has her own depression story. I have my own depression story. Ed has his. So, you know, I joke about it because it's been a big part of my life in a way. Yeah. Like, not in like, just in a way that it's affected me. I don't love being depressed. I'm not one of those people, but it will creep in.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, it, you know, surprisingly takes a lot of people by surprise. And
yeah.
I think a lot of people are like, you feel like you're like this normal, active, like go-getter. And then sometimes you're just like debilitated by this like depression.
To the extent of which I think people get really surprised sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a very shocking thing to yourself too, which I think you touched on. And I think, you know, I can't think of one person that I know who hasn't like seen some, I mean, very few people in my life haven't seen some form of depression, but also like a lot of your depression is very situational too. May I just say, you know, you have had some really, really instrumental, huge losses that, you know, will trigger depression. Anyone who is like, if a parent loss doesn't trigger, I mean, it's just, these are things that are life throws you so many curveballs and sometimes your physiological hormonal response is depression, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. You're not like, you used a certain term for yourself and I want to like shake you and give you a hug, because you should never, don't judge yourself. Don't feel bad about it. But, you know, now that we're touching on this, I want to go into active mode and tell you.
What was the term that she used?
She said like, oh, I'm a crybaby or something like that. Oh. Like she said something, right? Like,
yeah,
she goes,
she was pretty much like getting on herself.
She was getting
like,
on herself a little bit.
Who would want to be around me? Like, but that's
depression
talking.
That's, I think, what kind of took all of our breath away when she said people don't want to be around her. I was like, oh.
That's
a bleak place to be in.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Like, I'm just going to tell you from personal experience, because you know what? There's no one out there. 90% of the population has experienced depression. There's a very few people out there who haven't, because life, there's no guarantees in life. Life is always going to throw you, just when you're feeling on top, life is going to fucking kick you down. So
even when you are successful, you can still have it.
Even like, when you're in a wonderful
relationship. I think the more successful you are, I'm a big subscriber to the belief that $100,000 a year is the peak of happiness for, like, because you have enough money that you can pay for your life and go for extra treats, but you still have a drive and a will, and like you haven't been spoiled on the world yet. Every millionaire says that the most happy they were in their life was at $100,000 a year.
Very interesting. You know, I think like, I just, speaking from personal experience, there's just certain things that you have to do. Number one, this is my advice. This is how I live and this is what I do. Number one, you have to take self-care. We talk about this we touch on this a lot, but getting in the shower, getting your hair done, getting yourself out of bed, dressing up, feeling good about yourself is one way to start, you know, every morning, making sure that you are getting up, getting out, even if it feels contrary to
what
you want to do.
When I get there, when I get to that place where I really, like, lately I've been getting out of bed and like doing my makeup and getting ready to go out and like do a whole thing. Even if I'm not going out, I do it.
Even if you're not.
But I will say it, like, there are times where like that's not even, that's like I physically like can't even do that.
Yeah.
And like it will be like, you know, if I don't know if this girl has a history of depression, but it sounds like she might. Like, I'm just guessing, like it seems like she goes into it somewhat easily. And I don't know if that's necessarily true. But I will say that if you, I, there will be like six, like I had like 6 months last year where like I just kind of like my goal was to just like get out of bed and like, you know, do what I had to do. And like,
I mean, there were even times, and this is what I was going to advise her to her too, is like, you know, be open with your friends about it. I doubt that they don't want to be around you. It's just, it's like, they need to know what's going on with you. But also like one of the things that we did together when you were feeling like that, you were just like, I want to hang out with you, but like, I don't really want to go out. And we would, you would just invite me over and we would watch like a movie in your bed. And like, yeah, that was the most you could do at that time. But I was more than happy to like sit there with you and spend time with you. Like,
well, I think that's what's like really fun anyway. Like, I think that like a lot of your 20s is about like wanting to go out and like see and be seen. And there's, you know, it's nice to do that sometimes, but like, I'm just not fulfilled by that. Like, I don't, you know, I don't feel like I have real discussions in those scenarios. I'm typically not like comfortable. I'm like sitting on some wood chair, like a little bit too dressed up. You know what I mean? And like,
I think it's about also just like getting, as hard as it is, sometimes you just have to like, it's not a, and I'm not speaking to like going out or whatever, but even getting out of the house to go to the supermarket, getting out of the house to go get coffee, getting out of the house into the, like the sun literally has vitamin E and shit. Like, you have to be in touch. You have to like go see the sun sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise is immensely, immensely important. Whether it's yoga, whether it's getting some cardio, getting those endorphins going, taking a walk.
You can be on your own if you're feeling you want to be on your own, but just do it somewhere that's not in your house.
Exactly. Only. You know, it's just like sometimes just getting out.
Go to the movies by yourself.
Literally going to like, the movies was always a huge ritual for me during my depression. I'd just go see like 8 movies a week.
Yeah. And,
but it's great because like you're fueling yourself with like counter programming, basically. It's like at home you have this one thing, but when you go to a movie, it's total escapism, which makes you dream, which gives you hope.
You're also just kind of out in the world, and like sometimes, you know, you might see something in the world that like brings like warmth to your heart for in like a little, like I always love seeing those little babies play on that lawn by the Americana.
Yeah.
So like, cute. It's just so like, I
personally hate that. Just because I'm,
kind of too.
I'm like, take your kids to a fucking park. Like, this is weird. This is a like normalization that I'm not, of, like,
I'm depressed.
Mommy, we're going to go play at Nordstrom's.
But like, I'm consumerism at its peak.
Right. But like, I'm depressed and I'm just walking around. No, but I'd like to see a little baby. I'm just like enjoying just life. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Yeah.
When I just love it because I used to like go to the mall with my mom all the time. I'd like hide inside the clothes.
Right. But also like, oh no, I would always do that. That was my shit.
Totally hide inside the clothes. My mom would be like,
I fell asleep inside of one of those once. My mom went to TJ Maxx and I fully fell asleep inside when they thought I was missing.
Oh.
My
mom would get so mad at me. I would sit on the floor. She'd be like, the floor is so dirty, get up. Like, she would get so mad at me.
Oh, my mom stopped caring. I'd just like I'd take a nap in the back of TJ Maxx. Like when I was like 12, like I'd bring a book back there and lay down. Cause she'd be in there for like 2 hours. But yo, like that is, I will say like, I don't know where you are on this journey. Like, but I'll give you my version of that, which is sometimes for me, when I was really, really depressed, getting up and going to Starbucks every day, as dumb as it sounds, like even just going and collecting the points on my Starbucks card, it was just like a little thing. And, you know, I want to hear your last point, but I do feel like a lot of times lists and like people, like a lot of people, they simplify like, For you, that works. And a lot of people, that works. But a lot of times these lists of like, they're like, you know, exercise. And like people think their version of that is like, I have to go join Equinox. Yeah. And like they spend money and they never go. And then they feel worse about themselves. Like, no, like literally just get up and like take a walk down the block. That is a success. Like, you don't have to join a weightlifting program. You don't have that. Like,
yeah,
that's, it doesn't have to be extreme to be successful. It doesn't even have to go to a yoga class. Like, that, these
are
things that
works for different people.
People at their peak have trouble like doing that. So just remember like that, not knocking it out of the park every time. If you get up and just put on tinted moisturizer and brush your hair and make it look nice, that is still giving care to yourself.
Exactly.
And like
washing your face.
Yeah. Like. Oh, every day. Like that was my thing. No matter how depressed I am, I fucking wash my face every single night and put on my night serums and my moisture. It's a way of having control when you feel like you have no control.
Yeah. And another thing, you know, oh, sorry, Christina, was I going to interrupt?
No, go ahead. You go. And then
I was just going to say, and like, this is very obvious. Like, you need to go see a good therapist. You might want to talk about getting on a good antidepressant. Sometimes you have to try several before the right one works. you know, you
that was the other thing. It was like, if something's not, if your medication's not working for you, that's a possibility. Like, if you're sleeping too much, that's an indication that, like, it might not be working for you.
I think this, in my mind, this girl's sleeping all the time.
I agree. Yeah,
I think like, that she
something might not be working. You might want to have to, like, retry, lessen your load, try a different medication. Like, you need to be honest with your, if you're seeing someone, you need to be honest about, like, what's not working and what's not working.
And here's the other thing. If you have not gotten help because you feel paralyzed and you're afraid, which is also a very possibility. Again, I don't know where you are on the spectrum.
I think she did say that she's going to therapy, though.
You are not just getting well for yourself, which is, you know, you should never get well for someone else, but you do have a wife. You have people that want you to participate and want you to be well. And I'm sure your wife will help you with that. And also I'm sure that you want.
And also, I just want to point this out. That is that like a lot of people don't have an emotional support system at home to help them and love them them. Sometimes, believe me, I know. Like we both.
You have your dad.
Anyway, so basically, like, okay.
The source of your stuff, too, right, is, like, can't be your comfort.
Having someone who loves you, having someone who is willing to give you a hug, sometimes human touch can just be, like, so healing and cathartic. But I want, this is a thing that you have to do in depression, too. You have to reframe things to realize all your blessings and the gratitude and give gratitude for the things that are working in your life.
That was going to be my next point.
Oh, I mean, you have your health.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Hit it, Christina.
Just be the biggest thing, and this is what I'm working on in therapy, you guys. Yeah, is being cognizant of like what's when the depression is talking and like when it's like I'm not always seeing through like clear glasses.
Sure.
Like my depression glasses aren't a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm not really aware a lot of the times when that is happening. So this like need you feel to be isolated, that's a depression talking. That's depression saying that like you need to be alone because no one wants you around. You're a bummer.
Yeah.
Like you should just not talk to anybody. And you know what? I ended up spending all of my Thanksgiving like totally alone.
Right.
And like a lot of that stemmed. Like I could have found a place to have Thanksgiving dinner. I could have, you know, I got invited during that whole weekend. I got invited out to like go to bars and stuff like that. But like I was in a place where like I was like, no, I need to be alone. And I had it in my head that I needed to be alone because I wasn't going to be good company around people.
Well, wait, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because I do that a lot too, but sometimes I do. I mean, I know it's true. Like sometimes I'm like, I genuinely am not going to be good company.
So there's a difference between like and there's an aspect of that within being an introvert as well. Right. It's like I need to be alone because I need to recharge. I need to be alone because I know that I'm in an emotional space. For me, sometimes I'm in an aggressive space where I'm not going to be a good company for someone.
Right.
And there's a difference between recognizing that and having.
I've never been in such an aggressive state. I can't. I'm not aggressive.
I'm just.
No, I get it.
It's more just like that. I'm just gonna go off on someone. Yeah. I'm gonna go.
I know that. Like if you're
like I have a bad temper.
Short
sometimes.
Circuit.
Yeah.
Short
circuit. Yeah. Like
when you're sad, you get mad sometimes.
Like or depression. Stressed. Depression shows up in different ways for people. Like it could be agitated. Like usually I'm agitated.
Yeah.
And like that's my anxiety is agitation.
Lash out.
So like, but then there's this other part where it's like you're isolating yourself because you think that you're not a value person.
Right.
And like you need to recognize
you
that.
That's a thing with you. That's we've talked about this before. How for years, Christina, like up until like she stopped like 3 years ago, but she'd be like, "Are we really friends?" And I'd be like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Like, also, like, I mean, you know, I knew not to take it personally, but at a certain point, I did take it. I was like, Christina, like every time you ask me that, like, what am I supposed to feel like?
You realize that wasn't about you?
No, of course, right, of course, like, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I always knew it was about me. But at some point I was just like, ask yourself this, like, what's wrong with me if I'm hanging out with you? Do you want to hang out with a person that hangs out with someone she doesn't like?
Yeah.
Like, that's like, what does that say about me?
But it's like also my like anxiety, low self-esteem brain, like being the big dog on that. And like, oh, it made it rational. This very irrational thing.
I've 100% done that,
made it rational.
I feel you.
And so it's just like, yeah, I don't know. I just really felt for this caller. So
I do too.
Girl, you're going to be okay in the long run. Death has a unique death is unique in
oh my God, the grieving process for, like, you had so many big losses. It's gonna take
so many
years.
Thank God you're feeling it. You know what though? Like, now you're feeling it, and I've pushed stuff to the side, and you know, I can still like you know, my throat will get caught talking about it, and it sucks because I've never dealt with it, and I don't know when I ever can. But like, the good thing is that what you're going through right now, it does have to happen at some time. And I'm really glad that your body's reaction is to give yourself this time. And it will show up for different people in different ways. But, you know, you had three losses. I had two losses in my life at one time in a very short period of time that were big losses. And so I know that feeling of just like mass devastation. And, you know... Hold on. I'm fine. The thing is like, everyone has to die.
Yeah.
And people are going to die. And it's the inevitable thing in life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I think so many people fear it. It's like, not because... they fear themselves dying. It's because they hate the way that other people dying right. makes them feel.
Exactly.
Or the mystery of it makes them feel. It's because we will never know what it's truly like to die.
Right.
It's also like for the people left behind, the start of a different life.
It's a new life.
And it's like learning how to live that new life, that new reality.
It's kind of like getting reincarnated, but like not having all that shit left in your new life. Like, you have to remember it. Like, yeah. I have a new life, but like I have a keen memory of like all that stuff from that past life. And like, that's what's hard, you know? Yeah. But like, I feel terrible for you. Everyone has to go through this, but no one should, you know? It really is like, it's a test in life that, you know, we all have to take over and over again. And it is unfair sometimes because you see people that can kind of just move on in a way that you can't. And I guess it is nice to remember that, like, you can feel things very profoundly, you know? That's a nice realization to have. Like, I kind of get freaked out when people, like, push forward a little bit. I know that's a coping mechanism too, but I feel like it's like, oh my God, like, are you even affected by it? And I think it's nice to know you can, I think it's nice for you to know that it reinforces all the good things in your life. To know, like, you really, like, as much as you're sad right now, you really love your wife that much too. You know, as much as you feel that about your passions, about your art, your career, whatever it is that you're into, like, you can feel deeply, and that's a great thing. And
also, like, it sounds like I 100% agree with Molly, and I also think too, like, you've articulated some very distinct areas in your life where you've recognized, you've highlighted that, you know, those are areas that you need to look at.
Yeah.
For example, you mentioned that you're isolating. So you mentioned you're drinking too much, and you mentioned that.
Yeah, that was sad.
You know, so here's the thing. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to push you and urge you to, everything you just mentioned, do the exact opposite. Literally, you're drinking too much, cut the drinking. You're staying home too much, get outside. You feel like you're not, you know, worthy of friendship, be around your friends. You know, everything you're doing, do the exact opposite of it, because I think you're going to be just fine. But I also want to say too, life is hard. You've suffered tremendous losses.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes our responsibility is to keep moving forward, because they are, you know, like, life is very beautiful and profound. And I think you have, to me, I feel like you are very loved. And I think you also love yourself. And that's why you're concerned about yourself, which is also beautiful.
Yeah.
And so, because a lot of people don't have that also. A lot of people don't love themselves. And they do things from not loving themselves that they shouldn't do.
Yeah, I will say really quickly, just like to the drinking thing, because that, like, I think that like broke my heart in a weird way, because I know that can like, you know, I've gone through like areas of problem drinking in my day, and like,
and drinking is a depressant as well.
Yes. And I will say that like, I think a lot of times, like when you're depressed, like your brain is just like, well, I'm not doing anything today anyway. And like, so if I'm not going anywhere, like, why wouldn't I have a drink? Like, I think that you like sometimes when you're depressed, I can understand that way of thinking. I will say, and I don't want to like talk about, I feel like Sheena Marie and Rob, where I'm like, My store.
Sheena.
Well, like, it's just like, you know, it's like Rob. Like, I just am like, my store. Like, it's my answer to everything. But like, the thing that I've loved about my store is that, in addition to kind of like the whole mental distraction, which is great, I don't think everyone should have a store, and in fact, I hope you don't, because
also I think your store loves you back, and I think that's the difference.
There's that. There's that. My store and I have a better chance of having a child.
I think your store and you have a lot better chance of success than Sheena and Rob.
Right. My store used to date a princess.
Yeah, exactly.
But
your store used to be a soap star.
I'm so excited for that premiere, by the way. But the thing, another thing that I've loved is that it's like, it's exhausted me in a way, both mentally and physically, in a way that when I get home, I'm like, I just did 2.5 hours yesterday, and I added over 140 pieces of clothing and put up a new rack and tidied everything up because I have my first customer at 6 p.m. tonight. And when I came home, my limbs were tired. My brain was tired, a good tired. And like when you're doing that, like, I mean, I had like a glass of wine. It was Friday night and I ate a nice meal. I've been eating like as much vegan as possible this week, because I just like also want that like plant-based sort of fuel. Like, I fucking need it, especially after Thanksgiving.
Plants are so great.
My body has been so tired from the store thing. I got a massage in Texas that like, I literally think that Fort Worth, Texas might have the best massage I've ever had outside of the Bartholomew Method. Okay. Hand in stone. Her name is, I think her name is Sadie or something. But when you go, tell the person if you call. It's the Hand in Stone in Mansfield.
If you have the resources, go
call,
get a massage.
Say you want the chick who's named Raven in the Slack group. Say that you heard the guy say that, because that's what I heard the guy say. So I kept in my mind calling her Raven. I think her name was like Sadie or something. But it was the best fucking massage I've ever had. It was like cranial sacral work. It was great. So my point being is, like, you know, maybe if you find yourself drinking, you need to, you know, we brought up the exercise, but I understand that exercise is literally so, it's one of the hardest things to do, and so is eating healthy, and it's because it's so fucking boring. Like, if you don't like exercising, it's so boring.
Yeah.
And you can't think, like, the last thing you want to get out of bed to do is the most boring, trying, annoying thing that's, you know, not every, a lot of people don't have that relationship with exercise.
No, some people fucking love it. They're like, two-a-days, bro.
Yeah. I mean, well, no,
I love it. I went to a restorative yoga on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Did
you go at Equinox?
I did.
Okay.
I joined Equinox.
Well, you love it. For you, it's a good
thing. For me, it's a good thing.
I
100% got you. No, for me, and obviously everyone has to do what works for them. That's number one. But
yeah.
I love my job and I love my career and I'm so grateful for it. I'm so blessed.
Just really quick, can I finish and say that my point is like when you physically exhaust yourself, like in by doing something that's not traditional exercise,
right,
that's a unique kind of drain that makes it doesn't make you really want to drink. It doesn't really make you, you know, it will get your mind off of like, it will drain you the way that I think you might be using alcohol to self-medicate.
100%. And like for me, like sometimes, you know, just having a post-work world is important, I've noticed.
Right.
Because, you know, when you're at work, you see the same people you're in. And that's great. And I'm fortunate because I love the people I work with. And that's amazing. And I'm very blessed in that way.
Getting Whole Foods, sitting on your couch, watching TV every night, going to bed is not the best way to live.
Exactly. You know, sometimes you get into a routine. So for me, the gym is a place where I get to see new people. It's a place I'm single.
And
it's
very social.
I'm very social. I thrive on human interaction. Sometimes, like, you know, like,
I can't imagine that. I literally can't. It's why we've always, like, we've always been like such good plus ones for each other in a way.
Yeah, totally.
It's like,
totally.
You literally have always just been like, you're so good at that.
I just love
it.
I like hearing people's stories and the whole thing. But I went to restorative yoga class. And, you know, it was a very non-traditional form of weird exercise because it was so minimal, but it was weird. Like sometimes like that just joint release or that like weird tweak on your hip can release some chemical inside of you that, well, you'll just feel better. I woke up the next morning just feeling instantly amazingly better. I was very shocked by it because I was like, yeah, it wasn't some big deep exercise. I was like, what happened here?
Yeah,
like,
it'll still release. Wait, some chemicals and stuff like that.
I like hearing people's stories too. I just don't know how to ask the questions. What, like, I just don't know what question to ask. How do you know what questions to ask?
I don't know. I just like I was talking to a guy last night, and I'm, by the way, sometimes you do need help from a friend. Like I saw Jarell and Ed. I was at the supermarket in my athleisure, and Jarell texted Jarell, said, oh, how are you doing? You're supposed to work out this morning. And he said, I don't know if I can work out. I've been out, you know, tonight. And I said, oh, okay. So where are you at? And he was like 5 minutes away from where I was at. I was at Albertsons. And so I said, well, I'm in my sweats. I'm at Albertsons. I had to buy laundry, toilet paper, some paper towels. And he said, well, why don't you come here?
The way you just said that is... was so funny.
Yeah, I know.
Paper towels.
You know, I had to get some, you know, and I also love going to Albertsons late at night because there's just no one there.
Yeah.
You
know. I love
late night supermarket. Honey, you want to get over the depression?
I love a late night or an early morning supermarket.
Ooh, I've never done that before.
So yeah. You know, I heard
like
that
I'm going to go get my breakfast.
Fighters, yeah. Right here.
I heard on the Worst Ever podcast. I love it. It's Christine Lakin and Ella. We had him on our podcast. They said that Bob Hope used to walk around the Ralph's in, I think, Burbank every morning at like 6 a.m. because he could get his exercise, but also no one would recognize him at 6 a.m. But I like, because like old people love the mall. Like they go walk the mall because it's temperature controlled.
My mom wants to live in the mall. She wants to live at the Americana.
She does.
She's like dying to live there. I'm like, you're not allowed.
I feel like I feel like that's like a fun idea. Like it feels very like, it feels like a bitchy Eloise sort of like thing where you're like, I live at the mall. Like it's like, you know, like kind of like living in a hotel hybrid. But like in practice, I feel like it'd be really depressing.
Yeah. I think it would just get like annoying and
weird. Can you imagine the building emails that would come from like the Americana leasing office to your email?
Yeah,
because you get those leasing office emails, and like I feel like they'd be really
we have like
sad.
10 minutes left.
Okay so but, finish your thing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I ended up going to a bar, meeting my friend, and I just said, I'm in my sweats, but I'll come.
Yeah.
And he's so cute because he's always like low-key like trying to like put like he's like shoving people on me, and I'm like, oh my god, okay, like calm down, like it's cool, like it whatever happens organically. I did end up kissing this guy that I've like made out with like twice before at this bar, who has the worst text game ever. He's such an LA flake. Thank you, next. And I literally but we made out again because he's a really good kisser.
Sure. And sometimes you just need that.
But I also read
him
the
right. Sometimes you just need that.
Sometimes you just need it.
I just said that.
We all agree. Sometimes you just need it, because I was like,
we
you
all
know
be
what?
Twinning out here.
He's
tripleting.
He's like tall, he's German,
like,
he's from Fargo.
Sometimes you need that, bitch.
I know. Yeah, sometimes you need it. Like, sorry, I gotta use you.
Sometimes you just need a tall, pale white boy from Fargo, North Dakota to fucking kiss you at a bar and then also like not text you back.
And it's great because you don't like, that's the type of person you can't really care about because he's a dick.
Yeah. And I can't, if I much like yourself, if I say his name, I will give it away because it's the most absurd name. I'm gonna tell Molly and Christina offline. Okay. It's the most absurd.
Xavier.
No. His parents.
Oh, I remember you.
Do you remember this
but
one?
I forget what it is, but it really made me
it's
laugh.
It's a term
Let's
for
wrap this up so I can find out.
Okay, and so all I'm gonna say is that this guy, my friend said, oh, this, you know, you, here, talk to my friend. And I was like, and he, my friend said, oh, you're cute. And he said, oh, well, you're cute too to me. And I was like, oh. I was like, okay. And he was a literary agent. So I was like asking about his books and what he does. And you just follow into that. What do you do? Oh, tell me about your books. Oh, you know, you just get people talking sometimes because I'm genuinely.
Get them lubed up.
I want to hear what they have to say. But I'm also kind of like, okay, like I'm curious. I'm curious about this tall ginger who.
Lube me, baby.
He was very dressed up. We asked him why he was so dressed up. He'd come from a book. But he's actually, I think he's like a lot smarter than me. It was really sad.
Really?
Because he was like, yeah, I'm, you know, my parents wanted me to be influenced by Tchaikovsky and everything. And I'm like, oh, I sell reality shows.
They could just be like they could just be like Tony Bravo. People though. That doesn't mean that you're necessarily smarter than them.
Right. I mean, I was like,
they're smarter than you.
He
sorry.
Was like talking about all these like highbrow things, and I was like, I'm excited for Vanderpump Rules to come.
People
back.
Are fucking blowhards though. Sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I literally heard someone recently be like, I wouldn't even like, I mean, I can't even imagine. Like the TV's like the last thing I would do. Like if I had free time, the last thing I would do is watch TV. And it's just like, it's like, well, so then what would you do?
Right. I can't like, even explain to you.
Like you literally like just sit and do your taxes all the time. Like, are you like, you can't.
My, it's like they're sitting and listening to like Bach.
And that makes you like, better. Like no. That makes you sound like a fucking robot. Like thanks for revealing yourself as a sociopath.
Yeah. Like my life, I'm just not gonna lie to you. Like we're a lot revolved around TV because I just love it so much.
Of course.
Much. And I
plan. Well, it's also like your
It's career. My job.
Again,
and I have to
again,
watch everything.
Career, 9 to 5. Difference
between. Anyone in any creative profession has to be taking in media in order
you
to
do,
be doing
you
their job.
You do because you have to see what else is out there. It's yeah.
And also
it's
inspiring. It's like, you know, watch going when you're writing a script or something, part of the one of the best things you can do is go see a lot of movies.
Amen, sis.
Okay. But anyway, sorry. We have to wrap it up in a sec. Get you out of here. Go do your recycling.
I have to go back to the recycling center.
You go get your little recycling.
I have to go carry 20 bags more from the fucking it's just insane. Like whose Saturday is this?
Bitch, you gonna be saving the sea turtles and shit.
I will have done 40 and I'm talking giant trash hefty bag. I have a sport utility right now.
Yeah.
That's why I'm doing this because I have a loaner sport utility and I'm like, yeah. Oh, better get it done now.
Can I ask you a question about turtles?
Turtle time, yeah.
do you think that turtles like do you think they change their shells as they get older?
I think this is a very Kim Richards-esque question. Number one, I don't know.
I love turtles.
I love turtles. Show the she. I don't know. Do they?
No.
Didn't know that.
They're born with their... I thought they changed their shells when they got older. Like snails.
Like oh, snails change their shells?
Yeah.
I know snakes shed
skin. Hermit crabs need new shells too.
And like as my snakeskin boots I'm wearing, just kidding, will tell you, but do snakes change their skin too? Because
they
I know
shed
they
it.
Shed it, but is the skin
no,
they change?
That's because their skin is their body.
But does the skin change color ever? The snake
maybe.
Skin?
Sometimes there's like rainbowy snakes. Like there's different breeds. You
those
know?
Are the ones to stay away from.
What was I going to ask you, babe, about? Oh,
I would love a wildlife show with you two.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember? You want to know what I remembered?
Stay away from that snake.
Yeah,
you know, you can get like shit shaved into your head.
Right.
Okay.
I have.
So not Ninja Turtles, just a regular turtle. My cousin got one shaved into his head in the 90s, and I totally forgot.
That's
or in
so
the
dope.
In the 2000s.
See, that's the
yeah,
aughts.
It was just like a side of a turtle shell. Like picture the turtle from like Richard Scarry.
Remember it when I had 29 shaved in my head when
yeah,
I turned 29?
Yeah, I do. That's why I wanted to make sure we told you before we got off, because I thought that was the freshest hairstyle, and I know that you love, and if there's one person who loves a good buzz, it's Edward Hansen.
I do,
it's in just... all respects, honey, do you know what I'm saying?
You know what?
Talk about skinny girl margaritas.
Also, get you a haircut, lady, because that's another transformative thing.
Oh, yeah. That was big for me. I got a haircut and that like totally changed my outlook on me.
You'll literally get you a haircut and you're like, I'm not depressed anymore.
Maybe
I look
change
fabulous.
The color. Maybe do a little. No, don't
Mix
go. Don't. Maybe don't go straight to blonde if you're a brunette, but maybe do a nice rinse. Get like a little
out.
Color in there. Feel yourself. Do a keratin treatment.
You know,
treat
sometimes
maybe I should do some ASMR.
Sometimes a little balayage equals a little happiness. I don't even really know what balayage is. I think it's a lightning treatment, isn't it?
It's like a highlight that you do like by they just like paint it in like in small stripes, like with a Q-tip.
So I wasn't so far off the mark. So get a balayage and get some vitamin C.
Ed, I'm going to do some ASMR. Okay.
You're going to do what?
ASMR. Can we finish
it's
the
small,
that's ASMR. It's yeah. It's I hate ASMR. It's when you whisper and make small noises for people. It can be a cure for depression.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you gotta whisper.
Oh, okay. Can you do like devil voice like this? Is that cathartic?
It's not an idea. Okay, we gotta wrap it up.
Shit,
okay, Allison's here. Okay, bye guys. Talk to you next week.
Bye guys.